In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Good Friday is not a funeral for Jesus. We do not gather here this evening to mourn his death, and we certainly do not gather here this evening to pretend like we are his disciples at the foot of the cross, ignorant of what is coming in just 3 short days on Sunday morning. We are Christians. We know that Jesus is dead no longer. We know that Christ is risen indeed. We know that our Lord Jesus lives and reigns to all eternity. Yes, Good Friday is a solemn day. We have gathered here this evening to hear the account of his holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death. But it is truly Good Friday, a good day, for we have gathered to ponder the blessed significance of Christ's suffering and death for us. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he made man in his image, after his likeness. He formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. But that man, Adam, fell into sin, and Eve, his wife, as well. And so also every single other human being born in his image, after his likeness, after him. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. From one to all, the curse descends, and over all, God's wrath impends. From the very moment of the fall, mankind, including you, has become enemies of God. Both we in opposition to God and God in opposition to us. Such enmity with God leads to one place and to one place alone, hell, eternally. Yet in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came in flesh and blood, like us in every single way, and yet without sin. He came in his own words to bear witness to the truth. Pontius Pilate answered and asked in response to that statement, "What is truth?" This is the truth. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. All of us, all mankind, were, by our own sin, our own fault, enemies of God, opposed to him, deserving only his wrath and everlasting punishment. But God, out of his boundless love, his unfailing mercy, sought to end this hostility, sought to rescue you from condemnation, and to restore the fellowship that he intended with man from the very beginning. He did this through the death of Jesus Christ for you and for all as the perfect substitute. That is why it was necessary that Jesus Christ be true man, born of the Virgin Mary, as well as true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. It was necessary that Jesus should be like you in every single way, yet without sin, for only if he is human in every way, mind, body, and soul, could he bear all of your sins of mind, body, and soul on the cross. He assumed everything about your humanity, that he might pay for all of the sins of your humanity. But it was also necessary that he should be of one substance with the Father. For only if Christ is true God in his very nature could that death he suffered on the cross be all atoning, paying the penalty for every sin. Only if Jesus Christ is true God and true man does his blood cleanse you from every sin. And every means every. Jesus did not die for some or for a few people. For God does not will that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Christ died for all. The human race is truly redeemed and reconciled with God through Christ. By his perfect obedience, suffering, and death, Jesus won for all people the righteousness that avails before God and leads to everlasting life. And Jesus died for every sin, not just for sins that are light, for sins that are unintentional, for sins that are passing. No, his death is all-availing. In fact, the only all-availing death in history. For as the book of Hebrews testifies, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All of those other sacrifices counted in the Old Testament, whether they took place at the tabernacle or temple or anywhere else, did nothing to atone for man's transgressions. At best, they illustrated that true and perfect atonement that was yet to come, which has now come, which is finished in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we may confess we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. His sacrificial death on the cross truly makes satisfaction for all your sins. And not just yours, but the sins committed by all people throughout all ages. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Just before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, Jesus said, "It is finished." No high priest before him could make such a declaration. The sacrifices of the Old Testament were never finished. They continued. They were repeated day after day, year after year. They could never accomplish the atoning work demanded by the Most Holy God. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. He completed everything necessary for your redemption and reconciliation. "It is finished," he cried. All that the Christ had to endure, had to suffer, everything that needed to be done for the work of salvation for all humanity, that was finished. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And indeed, Christ has died for all, for the sins of the world. But it is only by believing in Jesus, by trusting that his atoning death on the cross is for you, that you receive the benefits of that death, forgiveness, life, and salvation. By faith and faith alone are you counted as holy and righteous in God's sight. By faith and faith alone are you saved from sin, death, and hell. This faith, not only knowing Jesus, but trusting in Jesus, this faith can only come by the Holy Spirit. It cannot come from yourself. The Holy Spirit creates and sustains true faith in your hearts. And he does this through the word of the cross, the good news of Jesus Christ, when it is preached and heard and pondered. And that is ultimately why we have gathered here this night, on this Good Friday, and why we will gather again very soon on Easter Sunday, and the week after that, and indeed every time the doors are opened in this sanctuary for worship. We gather to hear that same divine appeal that was once made through the Apostle Paul: be reconciled to God. Through Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In him, he was removing the enmity that separated us from our Creator. He did so by not counting your transgressions against you. You are guilty of continual trespasses before God. You justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. You yourself confess that. But the Lord laid on Christ your iniquity and the iniquity of us all. He who is perfectly sinless, thoroughly holy, was made to bear sin, indeed to be sin. Your transgressions were laid on him. Your guilt was imputed to him. Not a single sin of yours was excluded. He bore all of your sins, and he paid for them all. His blood cleanses you from every single one of your sins. And since his atoning death on the cross for you is perfect, since it is complete, since it is finished, the debt of your iniquities is wiped away, gone forever. In him, therefore, you are counted as the righteousness of God. Not a single fault to condemn you. Not a single sin counted against you. Good Friday is not a funeral for Jesus. We have not gathered here to mourn his death. It truly is Good Friday, after all. For even on this solemn day, we praise God Almighty that his Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificed himself for us and for the salvation of our souls. We gather tonight to rejoice that on that Friday long ago, God himself died on the cross and shed his blood to reconcile us and the whole world to his heavenly Father. On this Good Friday, we share in the praises of the saints and angels who even now dwell in perfect heavenly bliss, as they, now and forevermore, celebrate without end the death of God's Son. For in heaven they sing this song of praise. Worthy is the Lamb, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. In Jesus' name,